Welcome to First Bite, the Pride of Detroit, Detroit Lions preview podcast. My name is Jeremy Reisman. I'm the managing editor of Pride of Detroit. We are here getting ready for week 11, one of my favorite weeks of the NFL schedule because hashtag we own the Bears. And this week we have, as always, Ryan Matthews with us. Ryan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic.
And our special guest today, you've probably heard him on the normal POD cast. I believe he was also part of our short-lived football fights. It's Robert Zaglinski, who is the writer for Rock River Times, Windy City Gridiron, and The Athletic Chicago. Very busy man. Thanks for taking some time out with us, Robert. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Just going through my existence, my numbing existence as a Bears writer and fan, man. So, I mean, it's very, I was having a discussion with you. It's very nihilistic.
Football is nihilism. Football is pain and pain until you can't feel pain anymore, essentially. We both know that. So I think I'm going to kind of take a back seat to this podcast a little bit because Robert and Ryan tend to have this rivalry that permeates both through the podcast, through Twitter, through just about everything. And so I'm really entertained to see you just kind of go toe to toe. But as always, let's kick this. Oh wait, is there something brewing already?
What?
Take a shot. I don't know. It sounded like one of you was ready to take a shot.
You're just being a general agitator right now, Reisman.
Absolutely.
I have nothing to say. I have nothing to say to him. Like, Ryan hasn't pissed me off yet. He's going to in like 5 minutes, but.
Perfect. Okay. Well, let's set the table here. We'd like to start out with the injury report. We're here on Thursday recording, and the injury report literally just dropped for Thursday. The Lions are coming into this game quite healthy. We just dropped an article today saying that their starting lineup on offense is scheduled to start for the first time all season. Every single starter on offense, including on the offensive line. Taylor Decker made his debut last week, although he was essentially limited. They basically went on one drive with him off for another until the fourth quarter. I think he was there playing every drive in the fourth quarter. Lions could do that again this week. I doubt it, considering some of the guys on that Bears defensive line. Robert, what does it mean to you to have Taylor Decker in this lineup with at least one game under his belt now?
It's actually kind of concerning because I think a lot of the success the Bears had in October, where their defense dominated, they weren't playing the best of offensive lines. When they went up against the Saints, I mean, they had a few sacks. They were the only team to sack Drew Brees twice in a game this season. But other than that, they didn't really pressure him much. When they beat the Panthers, were missing Ryan Khalil. Trey Turner also got injured early in the game. If Taylor Decker wasn't playing, I could have seen this game being where the Bears would rip up Stafford with four or five sacks, something like that. Especially with Danny Trevathan, the leader on defense, and otherwise, I know the Bears front seven is good, but they're not good enough. They don't have another complimentary edge guy to kind of really dominate a good offensive line, which in my mind with Decker, like you said, having a game under his belt, the Lions have a decent enough offensive line to do that.
Yeah, and the other piece of that puzzle is TJ Lang, who, as far as we know, is still technically in concussion protocol, but now he's practiced in full on two days straight, and he's pretty much expected to play this week, which I think is kind of maybe just as much of a big deal as having Decker back, considering that the Lions were starting Corey Robinson, an offensive tackle at right guard last week, and I don't think that really went too well. But you kind of touched on one of the major Bears injuries there, and that's Danny Trevathan, who has now missed five consecutive practices, missed last week, looking like he might miss it again. Ryan, how big is that for the Lions?
I think it's a big deal. I mean, you know, Robert talked a little bit about, you know, the Bears' inability to generate pressure. I can't help but think back to last year's final meeting with the Bears where Chicago was able to generate all types of pressure. That was the game in which Matthew Stafford got his finger hurt. And, you know, the Bears were just, you know, relentlessly getting after Matthew Stafford in that game. So I think having a guy like Trevathan out is it's not ancillary. Like it matters, but I don't know how much it matters because I think this team, you know, Decker did show the, you know, he showed the ability, you know, Andrew Cotto had that piece that went up today, the Taylor Decker film review from last week. But, you know, Decker did a good job of kind of sealing things off, blocking to the inside, but he was still getting, you know, he was rusty, but he was giving up, you know, pressure to the outside. So I think, you know, still having their normal guys. And I mean, Akeem Hicks is so good. So I'm just, I don't know. The Bears still scare me, like in summation.
The thing about Trevathan being out is like, yeah, I'm not as concerned in terms of his talent level and how he would apply to this game necessarily because the Lions don't have the best running game, but he's their signal caller. He's the mic. So they don't with Jarrell Freeman out, he's the guy that's getting everybody lined up. He's the guy that's getting everything to focus. Nick Kwiatkowski and Christian Jones, the Bears like kind of depth guys, they're young and they have some promise, but they struggle in that regard. And when both let Brett Hundley dissect the Bears defense, like that's concerning to me. Trevathan isn't the Bears' best defense player. Like you just touched on Akeem Hicks, but to me, he's their most important because of that.
Who was it that replaced him last week against the Packers?
Well, yeah, Christian Jones. Christian Jones played. So it was Christian Jones and Nick Kwiatkowski. But Nick Kwiatkowski only played 55% of the snaps. So it was, for whatever reason, the Bears were only playing one linebacker for most of the second half. Like one inside linebacker.
Right, right. Okay, well, let's move on to some other injuries. It looks like Kyle Long might make his return this week. You might need to explain this one to me. He was active last week but didn't play. Is that right?
He played one snap on the field goal unit, and I honestly can't rationally explain that to you. Because if a guy has a broken hand and then you put him in to block on field goals, I mean, that's right. That's about as smart as challenging a play that was going to be first and goal at the 2-yard
box. Here we go. I can't wait for this.
But anyway, continue. Yeah.
So Long practiced in full for the first time, I think, in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
How has the offensive line looked without him, and what does it mean to get him back? Because I know the running game has been on and off again in Chicago. Is he a key piece to that?
He's probably their most – he's their catalyst in the running game. If they don't have him, if they're forced to play someone like Tom Compton or put Cronus Grisou at center instead of Cody Whitehair, everything kind of goes to shit. When the games where Long has been in, they've averaged at least 100 yards, and some of those games, like against the Ravens and Steelers, no defensive slouches. They've had over 200 yards rushing as a team. The Bears like to run to the right. They like to run to Long's side the most as well. He's their most athletic offensive lineman. He's the guy that sets the table for everything. And that's where like Jordan Howard's also most comfortable whenever the Bears run out of shotgun. So in terms of an offensive player outside of Jordan Howard Kyle Long's probably the most important guy the Bears have there.
And yeah, that's going to be a tricky matchup for a Detroit Lions defensive line that is probably going to be short. One of their key guys, Ezekiel Ansah, missed his fifth straight practice on Thursday, back injury. Ryan, what do you see happening with the Lions run defense this week after they gave up 200 yards to the Browns last week?
We talked about it a little bit on the podcast after, you know, kind of reviewing the Browns game a little bit. And I think that, you know, while he wouldn't have necessarily cured all the ailments that the Lions had, I think Ezekiel Ansah is so important in setting the edge. And he's just so integral to their run defense as on a macro level. So, you know, missing Ansah for a second straight week, it seems like we're, you know, heading in that direction. He hasn't practiced all week, you know, against a team who, you know, is getting Kyle Long back, as, you know, Robert mentioned, maybe their second most important player on offense. And finally getting the chance to maybe run behind him with Jordan Howard. I think that's significant and something to keep an eye on. But at the same time, Jeremy, I mean, you talked a little bit about today. You had a piece go up about the Lions and their, you know, never ending musical chair game with their defensive ends. So it's going to be interesting. I don't know. It's definitely not something that's working in the Lions' favor in terms of their run defense and how it's shaping up for this week.
Yeah, and the Lions signed, or claimed, I should say, Kasim Edebali, who's kind of a tweener, a linebacker defensive end, who the Lions oddly have listed as a linebacker, but considering they only have three other healthy defensive ends on the roster right now, you have to think he might actually play a fair amount in the lineup on Sunday, and I have no idea what to expect out of him. In my deep dive there, when the Lions had four active defensive ends on a game day roster, that fourth guy plays at least a minimum of 22% of the snaps. So we could be in for a guy who's only practiced with the Lions twice and taken a fairly big portion of snaps, and defensive line play is going to be key in this game. Is it not, Robert?
Well, pass rush wise, probably not for the Lions, at least. The Bears aren't going to throw the ball. And if the Bears throw the ball, they'll set up Trubisky and company in plenty of third and long situations. So, Ryan's more alluding to it. I kind of worried more about Howard because they're gonna run into a brick wall until it works, even if it doesn't work.
Is this then going to be one of those games where we're seeing Trubisky attempt 7 passes total?
No, he'll attempt 30 passes, but like I wrote a piece yesterday where kind of looked at the whole situation because it's been a big topic recently concerning them, their first down passing. So the Bears are second in the league in terms of running on first down, and then they're second in the league on also running on second down. So, and then they'll throw the ball on third down when it's an obvious passing situation, and they'll put the ball in Trubisky's hands and theoretically have that illusion of opening it up, which when you look at that, nine of 11 of the Bears' 11 possessions against the Packers, the final play was 3rd and 10 or longer. And that's kind of been the whole story of Trubisky's 5 starts. They'll open it up when he'll throw 30 passes, but it's always against a defense that knows he's coming, that knows he's about to drop back. Not exactly ideal.
Right. Well, speaking of the passing game, one other kind of strange injury on the Chicago side, not technically an injury, is Deion Sims, who's dealing with an illness that John Fox refuses to talk about.
He cited legal reasons, apparently, which makes all of the sense.
Right. And he missed last game. He's missed practice for now 2 straight weeks. Is it time for Adam Shaheen to rise to power here? Obviously, the Bears are also missing Zach Miller, who had that horrific injury against the Saints. What have you seen from Shaheen? Is he ready to take over a significant role in this offense?
Yeah, I thought initially, like at the early part of the year, that they were right not to use him. I think he only had like 2 targets. I think he only had two targets total through the first half of the season, and that was justified. But you review film of him from the Packers game, and he's burning their linebackers. He's going up against safeties, and he's getting separation. They just did it his way. He had 2 early catches for 40 yards, and that little 31 yard pass early in the game. And then they didn't really use him. And that's not really because he's not ready. It's just because they don't know how to adjust and how to game plan. I mean, it's been the same story with like Tariq Cohen, who only has 8 touches in the last 3 games as well. They have these talented guys that can play. They're just not using them. I would advocate that with Sims still out and Daniel Brown, their other young tight end that they don't really use, that they would offer Shaheen the opportunity to have a bit of a breakout game. I think they missed an opportunity last week. Like, use him. He's a talented guy. They drafted him for his athleticism, his natural athleticism. He's a D2 guy. They drafted him for that athleticism, and it clearly transfers against NFL players at this rate. Like, he's better than I initially thought.
All right. Well, I can feel something bubbling under the surface with you, Robert. I feel the John Fox hate coming out of you right now, and I want you to give in to that. I want to hear more of it, but right now we're going to take a break.
You're a Sith Lord.
Yes. Let the hate run through you or whatever. I don't know. I'm not I don't know Star Wars that well. Okay. Anyways, we're going to come back. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to matchups. We're going to try to antagonize Ryan and Robert a little more because I'm a little bit disappointed with that first segment. I want to hear it. I want some drama. But hopefully we're going to get it when we come back from this break right now. Welcome back to First Bite, our Lions Bears preview podcast. I'm here with Ryan Matthews and Robert Zaglinski, trying to get them to yell a little bit more. Ryan, why don't you lead things off in the second segment? What do you want to talk about here?
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, in my normal preparation for these podcasts that we have, I checked out all of the sites that I normally do, and looking at Football Outsiders, looking at their team defense DVOA metric, the Bears actually rank 10th in defense, and they rank pretty similarly in terms of rank. That they 11th in pass defense, 13th in rush defense. The Lions aren't going to try to run the ball that much. I mean, they might try, but it's going to be ineffective. Hopefully, as their offensive line solidifies itself a little bit more and gets some continuity in terms of having, you know, their projected offensive line healthy for the first time, that might come. But the Bears pass defense being ranked 11th in DVOA, I want to learn some more about this pass defense, Robert. I think, you know, for the most part, I mean, the Lions offense is really shotgunned and really fueled by everything that Golden Tate is able to do out of the slot. And then the Lions kind of work out from there. Marvin Jones on the outside. They finally got Kenny Golladay back. They used him a little bit against the Browns. And they obviously bring Theo Riddick in. So, I mean, what do we really expect? I mean, is this like the same Bears secondary? They've just gotten better. I mean, some of the names are familiar. Adrian Amos at safety, Kyle Fuller at cornerback. Like, I mean, what can we expect out of the Bears secondary?
The biggest thing, this was kind of a shock to everybody, but it's been Eddie Jackson. Eddie Jackson hasn't necessarily been like a Pro Bowl safety or anything this year, but he's proving why he was a fourth round steal, because he broke that leg and he fell to the fourth round in the draft. And he's everything this defense needed in terms of a guy who gives them range, who can cover both sides of the field seamlessly because of his natural athleticism. And that's what lets Adrian Amos play more of that hybrid linebacker role. He's not really dropping back into coverage often, and you can kind of employ him more as a strong, like as a strictly strong safety, and he's excelled in that regard. That's been the key to how they've kind of, I mean, I wouldn't say dominated, but they've been really, really good this year. I mean, that's been one of the better safety duos in the league that no one's talking about, because of Jackson's ability to kind of play both roles in pass coverage and just let Amos be a freelancer, be a mercenary. In terms of Fuller, I mean, Fuller too, up until last week, I'm watching him, how he tackled, I think there might be some kind of underlying injury, but don't quote me on that. He was awful against the Packers, but up until then, he was having one of the better years by any cornerback in the league. I mean, he was locking everybody down. He was physical. He was showing confidence, which has always been one of the biggest knocks on him, which is why he struggled previously. And he's been a huge boost to that. He's been a huge boost in that regard. But I mean, Amos and Jackson have been probably the most pleasant surprise of this entire team this year. I mean, Akeem Hicks dominance. He was doing this last year, just not at a greater clip. Like, I'm not exactly shocked by him doing that. Amos and Jackson, though, like this came out of nowhere. It's easily explainable, but it came out of nowhere.
Who do they primarily have lining up in the slot? Is it Fuller or?
Fuller's on the outside. They have they have Bryce Callahan. Was normally last week it was Craven LeBlanc, but it's been Bryce Callahan up to that point. I'm not really a huge fan of Callahan. I think LeBlanc's better. I think you guys are pretty familiar with LeBlanc. Picked off Stafford two times last year. I had a pick six in that second game. I like him better. I think he's more of a playmaker, but they're both not necessarily awful. It's not an awful choice to go with Callahan. So,
If there is a weakness to this pass defense, is it up the middle with those interior linebackers, especially with Trevathan out of the game?
Yeah, if Trevathan's out, I would be concerned. It depends on who they'd have as the play caller. If it's Christian Jones, I could easily see Matthew Stafford throwing for 400 yards. If it's Nick Kwiatkowski calling the plays with Trevathan out, I think they'll be fine there. More so, what I'm concerned about is a lack of a competent like pass rush threat besides Leonard Floyd and Hicks. They don't have really anybody behind Floyd as an edge guy. So if Floyd typically rushes to the right side, that'll be against Ricky Wagner. I mean, Taylor Decker's gonna have an easy day, and you could exploit a lot more to that side, or you can have bootleg to that side to go away from Floyd. It's very easy to game plan against this defense. That's why I said they more exploit bad offensive lines as opposed to elite units.
Yeah, and that's interesting. I don't know what to expect necessarily of the Lions offensive line at this point. I certainly wouldn't call them elite, but the fact that they're finally going to have all five starters is something I think everyone has been looking forward to. I think gone are the days in which Matthew Stafford's getting sacked five or six times. He was sacked four times against the Browns. They also have a pretty good defensive front, but I would say the Bears might even have a better defensive front than the Browns. Would you agree with that, Ryan?
Potentially. I don't know. I think that the Browns have an awful lot of athletes. I know Leonard Floyd is obviously athletic monster, but Akeem Hicks is just I'm so upset that he never made his way out of Chicago and that they kept him there and so unprofessionally just did not let him leave and make any other free agent.
Unprofessionally.
He definitely would have came to Detroit and signed the New England connection. I mean, those are facts and those are irrefutable. So it sucks that he ended up with the Bears because he's such an incredibly talented dude. But I don't know. I think the Browns have just like more raw athleticism, maybe not necessarily well-groomed football players. You know, the kind of players that John Fox is able to make. So,
They were also a very aggressive defense, sending blitzes almost every passing play. Is that really what this Chicago Bears team is about too? Or are they just lining up and trying to beat you man to man?
No, Fangio doesn't really blitz. Vic Fangio, he prefers that he trusts his talent more. That's not sitting back, but he'll typically rush only four guys as far as a pass rush, and he'll play everybody. He'll most man coverage, not really much press, not really much dropping back. I'll be biased, but I do think the Bears front overall is better than say Cleveland's. It's just that one edge spot. I can't name it off of what the Browns would have, but it's that one real weakness. Otherwise, the Bears have everything else in the front seven. Like, I would be satisfied. Like, that is, they have everything else would be like the part of like a contending team aside from that one edge spot. They literally have nothing besides Floyd, not even depth. So, other than that, in that regard. But hold on. Go ahead.
No. If you have something to add, go ahead. I was going to transition to the offense, the Bears offense.
Wait, hold on. Unprofessional to take $12 million a year and like $30 million guaranteed on either of the season?
I'm talking about their tactics being unprofessional. I mean, let the man, he's a free agent. He earned that. Let him see what all of, you know, the offers can be.
He didn't want to test the market. If he was going to test the market, he wouldn't have signed with him, but they had interest to bring him back. I don't know what. They had talks with them. I was at camp all summer. They started those talks like on the first day on report day. They had interest. They showed him interest, and they were going to pay him what he wanted. It was just about like getting all the fine print stuff set and ready. And then they had it ready literally the eve of the season and signed him. And I think that's the first time. It's actually ironic. It's the first time that the Bears have actually ever signed a guy, and it worked out immediately, as opposed to him getting injured, or as opposed to him like just generally disappointing. I mean, he's been an all pro this year, so he wanted to be here and they wanted him back. That's not necessarily letting him test the waters. He didn't want to test the waters because they showed him love.
Anyways, I want to talk about the wide receivers.
Or lack thereof?
Well, I didn't want to say that because I didn't want to try to hurt your feelings about your football team, but I'm a huge fan of Kendall Wright. Uh-huh. Why isn't Kendall Wright working?
Kendall Wright works if you had a competent offensive coordinator, man. I mean, Dow Loggins was the Bears offensive coordinator was talking yesterday how he lets defenses dictate matchups, which is the most asinine thing I've ever heard in the world. He said that he's letting the defense dictate matchups. When they asked him about Tariq Cohen, when they asked him about how Trubisky's been throwing in all these third and long situations, like these unfortunate third and long situations, he said he lets the defense dictate matchups. That explains everything. I mean, the Bears have, for all of their struggles and for all of Trubisky's struggles, I mean, it's almost a majority on the coaches that they don't know how to put these guys in position to succeed. They're not using Cohen, they're not using Shaheen. They're asking Trubisky to be the savior when he's, you know, he's a rookie young quarterback. And then they don't have great receivers, but they have Kendall Wright, who's passable. They just traded for Dontrell Inman, and they're just misusing everybody. They're just misshaped parts. That was the most baffling quote to me. That Fox kind of echoed it. That they're these company guys that don't know what they're doing.
So are you advocating for a blow up? I know a lot of fans, especially after that Packers loss.
It is over. I mean, I'm not. I advocating for the blow up is obvious. I am, but he's done.
There's no chance that they retain him at this point.
It is like 99%. It would have to be something where the Bears would have to win these last seven games in a row, which is not going to happen. Most of the beats have already moved onward. They have like sources where his seat's on fire. Like, especially when you have like disappoint, like the McCaskies are very traditional. When you have like disappointing losses like that to the Packers, and you're also not really having many results, they magnify that. He's done. And for as much as it was Pace's choice, Pace is going to get a second guy. Also, Ryan Pace and Fox don't like each other. Like, there's a reported huge rift there. So the only reason he's still here is because also of McCaskey's tradition where they never fire guys midseason. I mean, they had Mark Trestman. They retained Mark Trestman after getting after letting up 50 points in back-to-back weeks against the Patriots and Packers in 2014. So if they weren't going to fire Trestman then, they're not going to fire Fox midseason now. But January 1st, John Fox, he's almost certainly not going to be employed by the Bears anymore.
So there's no chance that if the Lions embarrass the Bears this week that it forces them to fire a coach?
Well, what's embarrassed? If the Bears – so if the Lions score 50 points, I mean, so ideally –
35 to 10.
I would probably put it like 10 or 20% would be the Bears change a little bit, but he still wouldn't be fired. That would just be at the risk of that would just probably show that the team is – mailing it in, cashing it in. So maybe the Bears would break from that, but I still wouldn't see them firing him.
Let me ask you this, because I think this is interesting. With where the Bears are right now, they're 3-6, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. With the Bears being 3-6 and you yourself being at the point where you're saying Fox is almost certainly out, he's not going to be the head coach next year.
Uh-huh.
So in terms of, and I mean, this is kind of just, I guess, personal preference, like, would you want to see the Bears try to be competitive for the rest of the year? Or would you rather see the Bears kind of, I mean, I know football, it doesn't really work, but for a lack of a better term, like, would you rather see the Bears like tank?
Yeah, like you said, it doesn't really work. They're not going to. I would prefer that they be competitive. I would prefer that at least, like, if they're going to lose at least 4 or 5 more games by my estimation. But I would prefer that those games remain competitive. Like, I want some of these young guys, some of the young talent that they actually have, like Floyd and Howard, still excelling, still growing, still like kind of learning how to win. Trubisky, you know, as much as they put him in precarious positions to like have an opportunity for a late game winning drive or have an opportunity to build consistency. That's the most important thing to me. Unless the Bears pick it up dramatically on offense, which is going to be the biggest precursor to Fox getting fired, because most of it is his doing. He's coordinating. He's not coordinating, but he's heavily involved in these game plans. Unless the Bears improve dramatically on offense, it won't matter what they do to stay competitive in these games, because that's the classic John Fox way. You have almost wins. You have this illusion of competence, like, oh man, we just came 2 or 3 plays short. Because that's what Fox game plan's for, a safe game plan. And eventually, because your team's playing tight, the other team with game breakers or the other team that's playing aggressively eventually does something in crunch time while the Bears crumble.
Or the other team doesn't allow their defense to dictate their offense.
Exactly, or that. So unless the Bears are like a top 10 offense, like within these last 7 weeks, it won't matter if they're competitive. So I prefer they stay competitive.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. Because, I mean, like, I guess from my perspective, I mean, if the Lions were in a situation, they had a guy like a Jordan Howard, like, I just wouldn't want him to touch the ball a whole lot. Because I feel like every running back just has this shelf life. And I wouldn't want to see my running back getting 25, 30 carries on a team that's, you know, destined to go, you know, 4-12 or, you know, 5-11 or something like that. So.
Well, the thing with Howard is he needs those carries to play well anyway. Like if he's at 10 carries, like he's only going to have 20 yards. He's a guy that he's one of those like power backs, like those cliche power backs that literally like it gets better as the game goes along. And that's when he turns off when he has like 160 yard game on 28 carries. Like that's what he does.
Mm-hmm.
I would prefer that too. That's kind of what happened last year when they didn't really use him and they went 3-13. But given how they've structured their offense so far this year, for as much as I wish, he's going to take an unnecessary beating. So,
do you look at a team like the Rams this year? You know, last year they have this young quarterback, this pretty good defense, and some talent around pretty much everywhere. Do you look at them and their season turnaround this year and just kind of start licking your chops and thinking, like, this is what the Bears can be next year? Is that something you actually can believe? If all the stars align, you know, the Bears get their coach, whoever that may be. Don't say who I think you're going to say because it'll get me mad. But do you think this is theoretically a roster that can make a one-year turnaround for next year?
Yeah, I know you guys will disagree, but I do. I think they're, like, realistically, in terms of major pieces, they need two wide receivers and, like, a complement to Floyd, a starting edge complement to Leonard Floyd on defense. Other than that, I mean, they really have everything else. They just need a coach to maximize that. They need a smart, modern coach to put Trubisky in advantageous positions, coach him up a little bit, restructure everything offensively and defensively, and they're there. I mean, they can absolutely make a jump to where they win 10 or 11 games next year. They have that kind of roster. They have that kind of talent. Now, it's just ironic that the roster that Pace built, this generally good roster in my mind that Pace built, it's also he chose this coach that's kind of holding it back. I look at the Rams or I even look at the Eagles and it fills you with hope at seeing that if they make the right hire that they can finally turn this around, that the rebuild in a way is almost over. Because like I said, they make the right moves in free agency in the draft with two or three moves. That's really minuscule for that 4 or 5 month offseason. And it'll happen.
I'll just say it. Do you really think Jim Harbaugh is a possibility?
No.
Okay.
I don't know what his situation in Michigan. If he was going to come back to the NFL, it would be with the Bears. So we'll have to see what happens with the rest of the college season. But if he comes back to the NFL, it's almost certainly going to be the Bears. I mean, that's everything that's been reported that when he comes back to the league, that's like his dream job in the league is with Chicago. He's not my first choice, but if they wanted to maximize, say, I often talk about this on Twitter, they have this 4-year window where Trubisky's on his rookie deal and they have all these guys that are 26 and 27. If they want to maximize that as best as possible and be a contender and win and try and win a Super Bowl, not necessarily win one, Harbaugh would be the guy. Right now, I don't think it's a possibility. I would only put it like 10 or 15%. But if he comes back to the league, it's going to be in Chicago. Like other candidates, I mean, the more obvious candidates are like Pete Carmichael, Matt LaFleur from Los Angeles. Harbaugh, I wouldn't be mad at. And Harbaugh would kind of be the guy. Harbaugh would kind of be the guy to finish this in a way. For as much as he'll eventually wear out his welcome, he would finish this.
You want to take D'Antonio by any chance?
No chance. So I know Sparty on, but no thank you.
I was just throwing it out there. All right, we're running a little late on this segment, so let's get to our predictions here. We like to do the one thing we think we know about this matchup. Ryan, I like starting out with you. Let's do it again. What do you got for me?
You kind of stole it. The one thing I thought I knew, and I guess I didn't know because I said I was going to say the one thing I think I know is that I can really piss off Jeremy, and I was going to ask Robert his opinion on Jim Harbaugh.
All right, you want me to go instead then while you think of a better one?
Sure, go ahead.
I think I know that this game is not going to reach 40 points total. I look at this Bears team. They've only given up more than 24 points twice this year, and in both those games, the offense that they were facing turned it over four times. The Lions don't turn the ball over all that much, so I don't think they're going to get that benefit this game. And then in terms of the Bears offense against the Lions defense, there's a chance that the Bears get the running game going in this game. It's something that definitely keeps me nervous because I don't think Jared Davis is playing to his potential right now. But they're going to sell out stopping the run. And if they do that, I don't think Trubisky is going to be able to burn this secondary because it's too good. So I think this is a game where you see both teams, neither team is going to score three touchdowns in this game. It's going to be extremely low scoring. And, you know, when you're playing on Soldier Field anyways, there's never a lot of offense in those games. So I think this, the over-under is going to be way under 40, but it's going to be under 40.
What is this? I think I know, right?
Yeah, the one thing you think you know, yep.
All right, the one thing I think I know is that Akeem, for as much as I said that the Lions' offensive line coming together concerns me, I think I know that Akeem Hicks and Leonard Floyd are going to have a field day. Especially Akeem Hicks, who had a quiet, really, really quiet day by his standards against the Packers. He faced a lot more double teams and triple teams. That's not going to happen again. He's not going to go 0-for on the stat sheet sack-wise. It's a good matchup there with TJ Lane. But in my mind, he's the better player than Lane. He's kind of, he's been playing really desperate. He's had a really desperate high level play this year, even after getting his contract. And I'll be interested to see how Floyd goes against kind of, I think Ricky Wagner's still hobbled a little bit, right? And then also Taylor Decker's still working his way back from the injury. Floyd in that way will enjoy another high pressure game against Stafford. I think getting nine pressures the last time the Bears and Lions met. So I think I know that Hicks and Floyd are going to wreak havoc.
All right, Ryan, hit us with something good. What you got?
I've had enough time. Here's my thing that I think I know. If Mitchell Trubisky throws the football 30 times, two of those times he's going to complete it to players that are wearing white jerseys.
I agree.
I think that the Lions have been able to generate turnovers almost consistently, more than maybe most NFL defenses have been able to. And I think that that's what's going to decide the game too. So there's two things I think I know wrapped up in one nice, neat little package.
Can I add to that? Like, really quickly? So if Trubisky throws a pick to, say, Glover Quinn or Darius Slay, one thing I think I know is that Trubisky won't throw another pass until December. Yeah.
Trubisky enough. Hasn't had a multi-interception game as of yet. He's only thrown two in his career.
Let's break the rookie in.
All right, let's get to plugs. Actually, before plugs, there wasn't enough conflict between you two, so give me a one sentence answer to this question, Ryan and Robert. What do you think of the movie Shawshank Redemption?
Top five all time, one of the greatest movies ever made.
Was that all hyphenated? Because it's one word.
Yes.
I meant one sentence, but sure.
Okay. I'll give you one word. Overappreciated.
Wow. Okay. We're not gonna do this right now because this would be like a 40-minute conversation.
Yeah, we're already running a little late on this segment.
Jeremy's just trying to stir shit up, and that's not fair. We kept it very professional on this podcast.
Yeah, we had a very nice, good football conversation.
That's not what the people
I'm proud of us for the first time. This definitely won't last, but I'm proud of us.
Hey, just give Sunday a chance to breathe, and then we have a Saturday game that I'll be at that. But
oh, I actually might be at that too. So keep an eye out.
There we go. Robert, where can the people find you and read your stuff?
You can follow me on Twitter at Robert Zaglinski. Read my work at Rock River Times, Windy City Gridiron, so SB Nation side, sister side to Pride of Detroit, and The Athletic Chicago.
All right. Sounds good, Robert. Thanks again for joining us. We appreciate the in-depth look, the professional football talk. And just about everything else you brought. Thanks for listening, guys. And always remember that hashtag we own the Bears. We'll talk to you guys next week.